Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, July 9, 2014. As South Sudan celebrates 3 years of independence, President Kiir appeals for peace.
I still renew my call upon him to accept the logic of peaceful resolution to the conflict.
And what does rebel leader Riek Machar have to say on this Independence Day?
I'm hoping that the fourth anniversary will be in a peaceful, democratic, federal state of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Thousands of South Sudanese have gathered in Juba today to commemorate the third anniversary of independence. But this year, many people feel there is not much to celebrate after nearly 7 months of fighting between South Sudanese that has left more than 10,000 people dead and more than a million displaced. President Salva Kiir, who led today's celebrations in the capital, says he is determined to restore peace to the country. Philip Aleu begins our coverage on the independence celebrations in Juba.
Different cultural groups were dancing on the Independence Square to mark a birth of South Sudan 3 years ago. It was on this ground that the plaque for Africa's newest nation was hoisted on July 9, 2011. Mundari traditional dancers covered their faces with red earth and beat drums. Next to them were Dingadinga dancers dressed in traditional attires with beads on their waists. Other cultural groups were wearing clothes defacing the national plaque of their cultural heritage. President Kiir says peace will only return to South Sudan through dialogue and call on former Vice President and rebel leader Riek Machar to demonstrate a similar commitment and return to the installed peace talks without preconditions.
I still renew my call upon him to accept the logic of peaceful resolution to the conflict, and so that we resolve this issue. There is nobody that can be insensitive to the call of everybody in the world. We are all being taken together. That I know. The two parties are not serious. Again, that is where things can go wrong.
President Kiir insists his forces has been respecting the ceasefire agreement since he and Machar signed the agreement in May, but the UN and other humanitarian groups say both sides have violated the deal. Mr. Kiir says mediators from the regional body, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, must deploy monitoring and deterrent forces.
I was hoping that the heads of IGAD countries were going to come here today so that I have to ask them a question, that for how long should my forces remain in the trenches while being attacked? What will you do if I do the same thing of Riek Machar and move out without my forces?
Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, the only IGAD member country head of state to attend the celebration, says negotiations is the only way to end the conflict. President Museveni reiterated that Uganda will continue to stand by the government of South Sudan.
Now when I was coming, the town has gone far beyond this hill. It is the people of South Sudan whose energies had been stifled and which were unleashed by your independence.
President Museveni sent troops to South Sudan at the start of the conflict in December. The Ugandan forces have remained in the country despite repeated calls by the opposition for their withdrawal. President Kiir says the Ugandan forces will not leave until IGAD forces are deployed.
Let us all rise above our differences for the sake of our beloved nation, and remember always, united we stand, divided we fall. Therefore, let us put this war to an end before the war puts us to an end.
The president says nothing should stand in the way of South Sudan developing its economy.
Though we are blessed with many natural resources, including enormous fertile lands and abundance of rains throughout the year, yet we continue to import foods.
For VOA News, I am Philip Aleu in Juba.
We spoke to rebel leader Riek Machar earlier today, who says he's optimistic the talks in Addis Ababa will resume and peace will finally come to South Sudan.
The issue is beyond SPLM now. It's a national crisis. And I hope President Salva Kiir would see it the same way. You remember we have accused him of being a dictator. We want this country to transform. We want to foster our unity. We want to implement a federal system. And in that federal system, it will address our diversity. Democracy is very important. The freedoms should be allowed. Justice should prevail. All of us should be equal. We should stem out corruption. We should stem out Islamization of government institutions. We must work to develop our country, deliver services to our people. The IGAD Forum is a chance for us to strike peace, provided that in it we agree on a federal system of governance. I am hoping that the fourth anniversary will be in a peaceful, democratic, federal state of South Sudan.
That was rebel leader Riek Machar speaking to me earlier today from Addis Ababa. We have other reports standing by around the country to describe the independence celebration happening in other towns and villages. We begin with Jonglei State.
I'm Jacob Achek in Bor, where thousands of people attended the celebrations. The mood was joyful, and here is what the caretaker governor, John Kong Nguyen, had to say.
Security situation in the state in general is stable in the six counties under our control. However, some threats are happening here and there around the state, and these continue to affect the people's confidence and keep them from returning home. Now that people are returning home, the level of displacement and destruction that had occurred during the last 5 months was huge, and this has severely affected the well-being of our people.
And I'm Gift Friday in Yambio, Western Equatoria, where thousands of happy residents turned up for the celebrations at the town's Freedom Square. State Governor Bangasi Joseph Bakosoro called for unity among South Sudanese.
Brothers and sisters, if we continue with the tribalism in South Sudan, in Western Equatorial State, this country will never move forward. It is becoming another deadly endemic disease in the new Republic of South Sudan. And this is very unfortunate because politicians who are supposed to be national leaders confine themselves to a tribal leadership. This practice breeds nepotism among ourselves, corruption, and total domination of governance based on ethnicity. It is a real cause of the present hatred between classes. Let us see ourselves as brothers and sisters. Let us talk one language of South Sudan.
He also called on the international community to support the ongoing peace talks aimed at restoring peace in South Sudan.
I'm Santino Manuda, ULN Kwajo, Warawa State, where thousands of people attended third independence anniversary celebrations. The mood was jovial as residents listened to speeches from the leaders. Acting Governor King Tong Aleo had this to say.
That is always focused on this state, try that to destroy. I beg you all to pay attention on that. And we leave a grievance that among us, and we unite ourselves. We will be a victim for those dangers that are coming from the rebel movement led by the Riek Machar. I have not spoken with him directly. There he claims that the Riek Machar promised that there is no peace before Warawa State is completely destroyed. So this is what we are thinking about.
Aleo denied that the ongoing war is ethnically motivated.
I am Abraham Agoth in a wheel, Northern Barakazali State, where thousands of people braved the hot sun to participate in the third independence anniversary celebrations, as leaders made their long speeches in ceremonies that lasted 5 hours. Quil Agwer Quil, caretaker governor of Northern Barakazali State, had this to say.
The enemies of peace decided to think otherwise. Today, our country is at war, but our government, under the leadership our President, General Salva Kiir Mayardit, is committed to peacefully solve the conflict we are facing in our country. Dear compatriots, in line with that, peace talks are currently underway in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, under IGAD mediation. Our delegation to IGAD mediated peace talks have been fully mandated to negotiate and bring peace home.
Mr. Quill expressed hope that President Salva Kiir's government will end the ongoing conflict so that the country can move forward.
One group of South Sudanese likely to be absent from today's independence celebration, some of the thousands of internally displaced persons living in UN camps in Juba, told VOA reporter Mungume Debs Rakarinj that they have mixed feelings about whether or not they should mark the country's third birthday.
35-year-old William Ball says he ran for his life and sought shelter at the UNMIS stomping compound when fighting broke out in Juba nearly 7 months ago. But even though he has been living on handouts from the UN since then, he says South Sudanese Independence Day is worth celebrating. The question for him is where and how.
We need to like to celebrate together with our friend or colleague here in this UNMIS. We dare not like to go outside because cry is still going on there in our side. Yeah, if we have money also, we buy soda, we buy whatever because we celebrate this day 9. It's a big day for us because it's for all people who stay in South Sudan. It's not for one person.
Ball says he would have loved to celebrate with the rest of the country at events being held outside of the camp's barbed wire fences. But he worries that
when we go outside, people are still to kill us there on the road.
Ball is not alone with his fears. He's also not celebrating alone. His friend, Terry James, who also lives in the camp, says
it is important for every South Runner to celebrate this wonderful day. And according to me, wherever I am, because Independence Day does not only need the government's people to celebrate it, but everybody who is a South Sudanese must celebrate it too.
James says he lost some of his relatives when fighting broke out in December. Today, he says he's spending the third anniversary of independence reflecting on his loss and trying to make sense of the still ongoing crisis in South Sudan.
I have to say this, the accountability of the atrocities, the deaths, the massacre that had happened here in Juba, we need the accountability. Who is accountable for that?
38-year-old James Dio says he's not joining in any celebrations, either inside the camp or outside of its walls.
We are suffering here at the UNMIS camp. There is nothing worth celebrating on the 9th of July. I will not do anything.
But South Sudanese outside the camp say there is a reason to celebrate, and some of them want those sheltering inside the camps to come out in the streets and mark the country's third birthday with them. One of them is 30-year-old Garang Madut from Warab State.
Today I feel very happy because we are now enjoying our independent, the third anniversary days of South Sudan. I should be very happy when they are joining us to enjoy our independent days because they are our brother and they are our sister.
On the third day of South Sudan's independence, I am Mugume Desu Rakarinj in Juba.
As Jonglei authorities take part in the anniversary celebration, some of the nation's war-wounded and children orphaned during the war say life has improved, but they say the ongoing conflict is leading to more suffering of civilians. For VOA News, Jacob Achiek reports from Bor.
Denga Jengaduot, a representative of people with a special need at the Jonglei State Assembly, said he felt life has improved since South Sudan's independent.
We achieved the independence with the hope that we will deliver the services that were lacking during the Northerners' rule. These services include peace, education, health, and the aspect of development. These were the issues why we have been fighting all along, and we have achieved them.
Peter Cholwal, the state youth and sport minister, said he is happy to live in an independent South Sudan, but he said the ongoing conflict between pro and anti-government forces is dialing some of the government achievements over the last 3 years.
The freedom of people of South Sudan was the interest of all South Sudanese to achieve their self-interests, like what we are seeing now today. Yeah, these are individual expectations. Some people that are fighting for their own interests, and they want to reach the position or the areas of leadership by all means, even by killing people.
Philip Mazijori, who was wounded during the war, said people like him are ready to celebrate South Sudan's third independent anniversary. But he too said he is concerned about the suffering that ongoing conflict is caused to hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese.
We are ready to celebrate this third anniversary of the independence, and we hope that we will celebrate it peacefully. Also, we pray to God that all South Sudanese will change from what happened in last 2013.
Simon Ochala Welo, head of the SPLM Youth League, said people like him vote for independence with a hope that it will lead to a better life.
They are the people who vote for separation and the country get independent, and they are the right people also to celebrate it. Everybody is very happy that nobody has not voted last during the referendum time.
Welo is calling on South Sudan leaders to end the current conflict so that ordinary citizens can live in peace and enjoy the dividends of independence. For BOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor, Jonglei State.
On this third anniversary of the nation's independence, U.S. officials added their voices to the chorus of international leaders recalling the hopes and expectations of the South Sudanese people on July 9, 2011, and how those hopes were dashed by the conflict that broke out in December last year. Assistant U.S. Secretary of State for African Affairs Linda Greenfield-Thomas says while the U.S. acknowledged today's anniversary, people are dying from what she calls a man-made crisis, and says that it must stop.
We are encouraging both sides to honor the ceasefire, but we're even more concerned about the impending famine that the humanitarian agencies are reporting.
United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon put out a statement saying much of the same, adding that South Sudanese people are bearing the brunt of the failure to stop the fighting. They are living in squalor, their livelihood have been lost, and they are plagued by hunger, disease, and insecurity. Ban said the responsibility of South Sudanese leaders to return to the bargaining table. Hilde Johnson, the head of the United Nations mission in South Sudan, whose term in office ended yesterday, offered her reflections on South Sudan and the way forward.
I have a long-standing, heartful relationship with the South Sudanese people. They deserve our solidarity and our assistance, and very much with that in mind, I took on the job of becoming the SRSG when the Secretary General asked me. And so it is really heartbreaking to see what they now have to go through, that the 6 months we have passed have seen the old nightmares come back and seen even more devastation and at a quicker speed than what we have seen almost ever before in South Sudanese history. This they did not deserve. It's first and foremost painful.
During your time as the representative of the UN Secretary General in South Sudan, what were some of your happy moments? I'm sure there were some moments where you were happy enjoying your job.
The moments when I met South Sudanese citizens who came to us and said, thank you for helping us, protecting us. When we did that on several occasions, that is something that is rewarding. And I think we've had quite a number of those moments in the middle of the crisis the past 6 months, because we have been able to protect more than 100,000 people in our bases, in our compounds, for the first time in peacekeeping history. We have protected these numbers, and very many people have really, with tears in their eyes, said, you saved my life. For me, it's a happy and sad moment, because it's not anything anyone should go through. So it's sad, but of course, it's good to be able to assist in this way. Prior to the crisis, there has been moments, but they don't compete with those ones. But I would say that seeing the cooperation that the mission developed to reform and transform the South Sudan police has been, if not a happy moment, at least really rewarding times. And we really were seeing results. And as we know, it's one of the core institutions of any country to have a functional police. We also have seen an agreement between David Yao Yao, one of the militia in Pibo County in Jonglei State, and the government happen. I was not present at the signing, but we really know, and we have heard from him and from the government side, that this would not have happened without the support of UNMISS, without the support of the peacekeeping mission.
Prior to the conflict that started in December, what were some of the difficulties that you were facing doing your job in South Sudan?
Well, it was a rocky ride from the very outset because, as we know, South Sudan got its independence or its divorce from Sudan, if we can put it that way, before the divorce papers were finally negotiated. And so the first year and a half was dominated by conflict, or at least tension with Sudan. We had the shutdown of oil, Heglig, and of course it's very difficult for a mission to strengthen the capacity in building the state in a situation where all the attention and energy went into its relationship with Khartoum and there was no resources virtually to invest in that cooperation from the government side because there was no oil money coming in. So that was a big challenge. And a second challenge was that we have a very vast country with enormous challenges on intercommunal violence, on tensions between communities. And we have a mission with only, at the time, 3,700 first, and it was building up to 4,700 infantry soldiers, which is nothing in a country as big as France. And, of course, managing the expectations of people who thought we had very many more and could fly in any time with as much forces as needed to protect them at any corner of the country has been a big challenge.
That's Hilda Johnson, the former head of the United Nations mission in South Sudan, speaking to me earlier this week from Juba. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry sent his good wishes to the people of South Sudan on this anniversary, but warned, quote, "The promises for which the people of South Sudan suffered and sacrificed so much is being threatened by the current conflict," unquote. The East Africa Program Director for United States Initiative of Peace agrees, but John Timman adds that South Sudanese leaders can still correct their mistakes and steer the country out of its crisis.
98% of South Sudanese voted for independence, so I think it's awfully difficult to question such an overwhelming, almost unanimous decision by South Sudanese. I think the question to ask instead is perhaps what went wrong in these first few years and what could have been done better over those 3 years that is now applicable in terms of addressing the current situation. And I think there's a lot to be discussed there by South Sudanese and also by internationals.
And what went wrong in the first 2-3 years of the independence?
Well, I think one area to critique, and important to emphasize that hindsight is 20/20, as they say, and it's easy to make these criticisms in hindsight, but that there was perhaps too much of a focus on some of the technical aspects of state building and helping to build this new country, building up ministries and central banks and so forth, and perhaps not enough focus on the politics. And those politics affect everything on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour basis. And it seems to me that unless we are paying close attention to the politics and also the ethnic dynamics that are related to the politics, then we're missing a big part of the picture.
And how did the post-conflict scenario play in here? Because when South Sudan got its independence, there were a lot of issues that were buried under the carpet.
That's right. And there was never a really genuine, comprehensive reconciliation process done to try to address those issues. And there's now some nascent reconciliation processes underway, and that's good, but they're going to take time.
Now that the country found itself in the situation it is in now, what is the way forward?
I think it has to be some sort of a political deal, and a deal not just amongst the belligerents, the guys with guns, but amongst a much broader representative group of South Sudanese, and any sort of deal has to include the kind of reconciliation that we were just talking about, and looking back at what happened over the last 6-7 months, and perhaps even further than that. Unfortunately, South Sudan, I think, has been set back a long way by what's happened during this current crisis. Already before December, it was a real uphill struggle to try to build a new country, given what they had been through. But now this latest crisis has set things back substantially further.
How would you react to a lot of critics who are saying that the international community adopted an hands-off approach right from 2005, leaving the leaders in the country to do as they wish?
Well, I think there are some critiques that can be made of international engagement in South Sudan over the last 3 years, and as you say, since 2005. And there definitely were things that could have done better. And some of what I'm saying about more of a focus on politics and less of a technical approach certainly pertains to the international community. That said, this current crisis was made by South Sudanese. I have no doubt about that. And it's only South Sudanese who are going to fix the current crisis. And the internationals can help, and they're trying, and perhaps there can be more that can be done. But at the end of the day, South Sudanese need to chart a way out of the crisis and a way forward.
John Timman is the East Africa Program Director for the United States Institute of Peace. He was speaking to me here in Washington earlier today. That's our show for this Independence Day. We now leave you with the song Endenabelit Jadid by South Sudanese reggae star, original Ras Corby. Been listening to Ras Corby with that song Indinabelit Jadid, meaning we have a new country.